For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The More Sure Word of Prophecy, as we pick up in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You remember Peter writing of these things, said, which things the angels even desired to look into. You see, angels are not omniscient, as is God. They do not know the full purposes or the plan of God. And I'm sure that they have interesting sessions and discussions as they see the purposes of God being unfolded. Now, the angels did have a better grasp of prophecy than did man. When God would reveal the things through the prophets, they did have a grasp of these things, but not a full understanding. It took the working out of the plan for them to come into a full understanding. Peter, in writing of these things, says we have the more sure word of prophecy. You know, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, but we have the more sure word of prophecy and so forth. Which things the angels desired to look into. Here Paul said that the principalities and powers, which are the angels, that they might know by what is happening in the church, the manifold wisdom of God. I would imagine that it was a very shocking and awesome thing to the angels that God decided to come and indwell man. That God would actually come and dwell within man. And this is that glorious mystery, that God actually will indwell you by his Spirit through Jesus Christ. My body can become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That Christ dwelling in me is my hope of glory. This marvelous mystery, the angel says, wow, can you believe that? You know. And it is revealed. God didn't reveal it to them except as it took place within the church. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was God's plan from the beginning. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. In chapter 1, Paul said, we have been accepted in the beloved. God accepts me. Now he says we have access unto God. Now that was, of course, something that was withheld even from the Jew. They did not have access to God. They came to God through the priest. He would enter into the presence of God for them. When God gave the law to Moses, he said, cordon off the mount, don't let man come close, lest he be destroyed. And Moses went up and communed with God. And when the people saw the awesome phenomena of the presence of God, they fled and they said to Moses, look, you go up and talk to him and you come down and tell us what he said, but we don't want to get near him. That's awesome. The fire rolling around the ground, the thunder and all of these things. And you go up and we'll listen to you. We'll take what you tell us that God says, you know, but, you know, we don't want to approach that. And as God established the law, then it was the high priest who went into the Holy of Holies before God, for the people, and that only once in the year, the one day in the year. But now, we have access to God. There is no veil any longer to hold you out. It was extremely significant that at the crucifixion of Jesus, the veil was rent or torn from the top to the bottom, and God was just now saying, look, through Jesus Christ, you can all come. You have access to God. In Hebrews it said that we may come boldly before the throne of grace to make our petitions known. Through Jesus Christ, we who were once alienated from God, could not approach him, have now been brought close, been brought nigh. Access to God. And then here, again, boldness in access, as in Hebrews, come boldly to the throne of grace. That timidity that some people display, oh, I really don't think I'm worthy to come to God. I'll just go to one of the saints and ask him to go to God for me. Is unscriptural. And it's wrong. When God opens the door and says, come on in, it's wrong for you to hold back. We come boldly. We have access, boldness in access. Confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, Paul said, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. Paul had gone through so much to bring them this message. The prisoner, beaten, scourged, buffeted, stoned. But don't faint at my tribulations, because it's all for your glory. For this cause, Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's prayer for them, the attitude in prayer, physical, of bowing his knee. But there are many attitudes for prayer physically. It isn't really the physical position that counts when I come to God. It's the position of my heart. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So the people who have a hang-up, you're not really praying unless you're on your knees, is not really a scriptural hang-up. It's just their own hang-up. The scripture talks about standing, lifting holy hands in prayer. David lying with his face in the dirt, crying unto God. Many places they're lying prostrate before the Lord. So sitting, lying, kneeling, standing, that's not what counts. What's the position of your heart as you come to God? I bow my knees unto the Father. Prayer is unto the Father. Our Father which art in heaven, whatsoever things you ask the Father, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, Paul's prayer for them, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. How we need strength in our inner man. Satan is constantly setting before us temptations. He is a powerful foe. I do not have the strength within myself to stand against him. I need God's strength by his Spirit in my inner man, if I am to stand before the power of the enemy. Paul prays that you might be strengthened in the inner man by his Spirit. Secondly, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The word dwell in the Greek is to settle down and to make himself at home. That Christ might really be at home, be comfortable, be at ease, There are places where you go and you feel out of place the moment you are there. You feel uncomfortable. You wish you had not come. You're not in harmony with what's going on. And then there are other places where you go and you just feel so comfortable, so at ease, so relaxed. Now, that Christ might be at home in your hearts means that the heart, your heart, might be so in tune and all with Him that as He dwells within your heart, there is no strain. There is no embarrassment for Him. You remember how that Ezekiel, that interesting prophet, how God dealt with him in many strange ways, was taken by the Spirit to Jerusalem. And there was this wall there, and God says, now dig a hole through the wall. And he dug a hole through the wall and crawled in. And he looked, and here was all kinds of pornography all over the walls. And Ezekiel said, oh, that's horrible. Filthy pornography. What's that all about? And God said, I have allowed you to go within the minds of the leaders of Israel. These are the things that they are thinking. These are the things that they are seeing. Now, when Christ dwells within your heart and looks on the walls, you see, is he at home? Is he comfortable with what he sees? Or when he knocks on the door, do we say, wait a minute, and we go around and try and cover everything in or turn things around backwards? That Christ may be at home in your hearts by faith. And that you might be rooted and grounded in love. Oh, that we would experience more that love of God and the love of Jesus Christ, and that it might really flow forth more from our lives, rooted and grounded. And that you might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, here's an interesting request, because how can you know something that passes knowledge? And the word know is ginosko, which is know by experience. Now, his prayer, God loves you so much. I pray that you might know the depths of God's love for you, the lengths of God's love, the heights of God's love. You'd only fathom the depths, if you could only explore the heights, you'd only see the lengths. To the length to which God was willing to go to save you. The depths to which Jesus was willing to come in order to redeem you. The heights to which God intends to bring you, that he might seat you together with Christ in heavenly places and make you a joint heir with Christ of his eternal kingdom. Oh, the heights of the glory that God has for you. If you could only know, Paul said, comprehend that which is beyond knowledge. Hey, you cannot know it. It's beyond knowledge. And then the next request, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, again, that is something that in the physical is impossible, that I could be filled with the fullness of God. The heavens of heavens cannot contain God. How much less me? That I might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, realizing that he's asked some pretty tough things, he says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How many times I think that we limit God by our own limitations. And we carry our own limitations over into the spiritual realm. We are prone to place things in categories. That's very easy. Well, that's simple. No problem. Well, that's pretty tough. That one's difficult. Hey, that's impossible. And we're prone to carry these over to God, and it reflects even many times in our attitude of prayer. Lord, this simple thing, you can handle this one. Lord, this is pretty tough. I really don't know. Forget it, Lord. It's impossible, you know. And we're prone to carry over unto God those human feelings that we have concerning situations. How many times God has done things that I thought were totally impossible? Things that I had given up on. People in which I have said, hey, no way. Now, what's God do? Turn around and saves them. Oh, can't believe it, you know. Jonathan, waking up early in the morning, his mind playing with an interesting thought. I wonder if God wants to deliver the Philistines to Israel today. If God wants to deliver the Philistines to Israel today, he doesn't need a whole army. If God wants to do it, he could deliver them into the hands of one man just as easy as he could the whole army. I wonder if he wants to deliver them today. And this crazy thought running through his brain, he can't get it out of his head. And so he wakes up his armor bearer and he says, shh, been having a crazy thought. You know, I was thinking, if God wants to deliver the Philistines to Israel, he doesn't need the whole army. After all, he's God. He could deliver the Philistines to Israel to just one man, just as easily as the whole army. Let's go over and see if God wants to deliver the Philistines this morning. I love it. Let's see what God might want to do. Let's venture out in faith. Who knows what God might want to do? He doesn't need a whole army. We measure things by our abilities. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. We oftentimes are intimidated by certain diseases, by certain illnesses, because they have been diagnosed by man as incurable. And thus we have a different prayer for leukemia than we do earaches or headaches. Lord, he's got a headache. Relieve him, Lord. You know, help him to really be able to function today. Thank you, Lord. No problem. You know, God doesn't come through, take an aspirin. Leukemia? No. Oh, God, help God. Oh, Lord, God of heaven. Oh, man, leukemia, you got to really pray for that. You have to, you know, it takes really getting worked up into that one. That's tough. Hey, it is no more difficult for God to heal of leukemia than it is a common cold. You see, God doesn't have these categories of difficult or easy or impossible. They don't exist with God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly. And we need to remember this when we pray. We need in prayer to be freed from our human limitations and this idea of difficulty. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. God can provide $1 million for you just as easily as he can provide 5 cents. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Why do you limit him? Lord, I need a nickel. And so I start looking around the ground. Shouldn't be too hard to find a nickel. Flip the coin boxes in the telephones, you know. And so Paul, as he prays with that awareness, that confidence that God is able. We need to have that confidence when we pray. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. This beautiful little benediction that he tacks onto his prayer. Glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And so shall it be. So shall it be. World without end, we will bring glory and praise unto God because of his grace towards us through Jesus Christ. Hey, in heaven, we'll be doing much the same things we're doing here on the earth, as we're just giving thanks unto God for his mercy and grace to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So many people are looking for heaven to bring so many radical changes in their lives. But you see, God wants to make those radical changes right now so that heaven will not be a shocking kind of a transition for you. God is working in us now. Those eternal things, as he is preparing us for the eternal kingdom. They're not going to be as radical a change as you think. And God wants it to be a smooth transition. You know, it'd be glorious to be in heaven for an hour or two before you realize you were there. To walk so close to the Lord. To live in such communion with him. To walk so in his presence and in his love and all. And suddenly you say, hey, wait a minute. Something's different here. Where am I? Wow. Oh, God, help us to so walk with Jesus in close communion.
We've all heard it. Love makes the world go round. Love is the answer. All you need is love. But what is love, really? If it's so powerful, why does it so often seem so hard to find? In his inspiring and down-to-earth book, Love, The More Excellent Way, Pastor Chuck Smith takes you on a journey to discover the true meaning of love, the kind of love that flows straight from the heart of God. You'll learn what genuine love looks like, how it transforms lives, and how you can experience it for yourself. Love, The More Excellent Way is also available as an audiobook and study guide, perfect for personal devotion or group study. Don't just talk about love, live it. Order your copy of Love, The More Excellent Way today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Love, the greatest gift from the heart of God. Now here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. And may your life be an instrument in God's hand this week. May you have that unusual joy of realizing God's hand is upon my life and he has used me. May God help you to share his love with those that are still sitting in darkness. And may you experience the anointing of God's Spirit upon your life in a new and a very special way as he empowers you to do his work. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ephesians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Ephesians 3. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.